Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
You are listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Shore. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Shore. It won't let you down.
Hello, everyone. You're all very welcome to the show, brought to you by Sports Joe and Sure 72-hour protection. Myself and Lee Costello are both here, as usual, and we're joined today by Galway footballer Shane Walsh. Shane, how's things? Disappointing ending yesterday, obviously, but how are you today?
Look, like any game, you have to review things, see where things went wrong, I suppose, first on the day, and look, within the day, there was a point in it yesterday, and yeah, games can go like that. We've had a couple of games like that last year that went our way, and unfortunately yesterday, we were on the wrong end of it. We've been on the right end of it before.
It was wild for a finish, the whole game, like a draw game. Galway are kind of pushing for the last score. Peter Cook kicks the ball out, bounces over the head. The crowd are roaring. Mernon wins his free. It's a draw. Armagh one up, and then it comes down the other end, and Kieran McGeaney's going mad. The stands are roaring. Everything is kind of going a small bit mad in the whole pitch. And you get the free. You're waiting for ages. So it just went. I suppose it's. Do you remember much of it there for a finish?
Look, these are the kind of moments in games that just they come about. I suppose, John, that's what people want to see as well, in that the things get tense towards the end of a game and that. So, look, it's obviously a free was there to be taken, and unfortunately I didn't execute it, and that's down to me alone, I suppose, in that regard. But look, it's a game of football at the end of the day, and we have to pick ourselves up. We've next week to look forward to again. We're still in the championship. It's very rare you lose a championship game and you're still there. So we have that to look forward to, and yeah, we just have to plough on now.
Yeah, I suppose the saving grace for you is that, unlike John Heslin, there at Westmead, he missed a free and they were knocked out of the championship. You've a time to get over it, and you've very little time to, you've a match in 6 days' time, so it's a.
Exactly. Look, chance to redeem myself firstly, but I know the lads as well will be the same boat as well, and everyone just is going to row in to get a result next weekend.
I suppose like that's the. Like it comes around so quick. Is it just you just try and forget about it, think about the next game? The minute you even get into the dressing room, like you probably weren't expecting to be playing in 6 days' time. That is it. Just all focused on right. How do we get right now for the next weekend?
I think you plan for every eventuality. Like that's part of the management. That's what they've been good at doing all the way along. Like no matter what way Anthem was going to fall, you're just prepared for any eventuality. And like we were fully prepared that we could be finishing even third yesterday if results had went a different way. So look, that's just it. But positive is, I suppose, we have a home draw in Pier Stadium, which is a huge boost. You're back in front of your own supporters again, and yeah, just have to get back on the horse now. Just kind of said, review the game yesterday, get bodies right, and get ready to go again.
So, what is it like when you realise, I suppose, after the match yesterday that we're straight back on the horse? We've a match next week. Are you thinking about recovery straight away on the Sunday night? Is it an ice bath last night, or is it stuff like that?
Yeah, no, there is. Like I suppose even a swim today, little things like that. It comes down to small percentages now, and who does the best in this kind of time frame that's there, because you know, the window is so short. But like, I suppose the National League kind of gives you the resemblance of what it is like now, where you have, you know, a couple of games in a short space of time, and it's great in one way, but obviously you have to be mindful of where bodies are at and trying to manage players' loads and that. So that's the big thing at the moment that obviously we're trying to get right for next weekend. So yeah, you kind of have a good template built up from the National League.
I suppose the thing about the GA is it's amateur players, and you're back to work the next day. That's why we have you in here today. You were doing the first day of the upskill camps in Kilmacud Croke. So how did that go this morning?
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. In fairness, it was lovely to see. There was like a lot of different club players there, so there wasn't both boys and girls. Like, so do you know, we had Ballymun, there was Clontarf, you know, that came down from the north side, and obviously Kilmacud, Ballinteer. There was lots of clubs around the area there like that as well that were all participating today. So no, it was brilliant. Brilliant first day there. So it was in over there in Silver Park. But yeah, it's very enjoyable. Like, I think it's a big window for me to kind of, I suppose, give my knowledge, I suppose, of from an intercounty experience to young players that are, I suppose, are aspiring to play for their counties down the line in both the women's and men's codes. So like, there, I think after cool camps, I think there's probably not a huge window there in regards to, unless you make an under 14, under 16 development squads at the county. Like, outside of that, there isn't really much for them. And for me, it's just a chance to probably give back something that I've picked up over time. And if I can help the next generation, I suppose, to get to that level, I said, wouldn't be great.
So you're a PE teacher yourself, and I know from talking to you before that coaching is something that you've always enjoyed and had an interest in.
Yeah, no, yeah, I suppose, yeah, I'm teaching there at the Loretto Abbey and Dalkey there, and you know, yeah, we even got the GA, we had a good GA team there going this year, especially in our first years, and we're just trying to build it through as well. Like, but yeah, no, it's a huge passion, I suppose, and even like the greatest satisfaction for me is to work with somebody and to see somebody improve, and you know, to think that you could have an influence on that person to help them improve and help their skill base. Do you know, like, that's all I'm trying to do, and like, it's what was, I suppose, bestowed on me when I was younger with my principal back in national school. Like, the work that he did with me back in the day, like, that helped me in regards to making my goal of playing with Galway at senior level. So like, if I could do that for the kids, the next generation, like, wouldn't it be brilliant to be able to transfer, I suppose, what I learned onto them and hopefully bring them to the next level.
What was your experience, sorry, on underage and getting into Galway? Did you play for development teams growing up?
I actually didn't. We were just chatting about it the way to the game yesterday, myself and Berkey. Like, this, he was on every underage squad up until senior level, I suppose, and whereas I didn't make it until I was in my last year minor. So it was kind of a slow process. Like, there was days there, I remember the Ted Webb when they picked, it used to be split City and West and North, kind of County Galway, and we had, I think, 30 players. Yeah, there was 30 players picked on both sides, and like, I wasn't one of those 30 players. So like, you're kind of going home that night obviously upset. Sorry there. You're obviously going home a bit upset, and you're there thinking like, I'm, you know, am I really good enough for that, you know? And it's kind of a hard place, but I suppose at the same time I had to go back into myself a bit and say, you know, like, I had to kind of develop that self-belief that like, all the time I spend outside practicing, playing, like, I have to be able to bring that to the table. I have to show them that, you know, they're essentially wrong, that I should be there. But you know, it took time, and yeah, it's like part of the process for me that probably helped me develop that kind of mental resolve to kind of take those tough experiences and just bring it forward, and you know, use it as a lesson rather than using it as a hindrance to me going forward. And like, it's the very same as yesterday. Like, as I said, like, I'm never afraid. I've been putting myself out there in moments that things can go wrong for you, and on the biggest stage, and that happens, and you just have to learn from it, bring it forward, and try and change that the next day. And that's the way it is.
And do you think, because there's a lot of talk about development teams and what age is the best age to actually start bringing, you know, young players on, is it an under 14 team, is that even too young, under 16 team playing at county level? Some are saying that it's like divisive in the sense that it actually discourages people from playing football and you know, keeping the sport up because they get dispirited. Obviously you took it the other way, it made you more resilient. Is that really what you're trying to do? You're trying to catch them people that, you know, maybe just missed out?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just think like, and look, for everyone that age group, like, because there's so much to learn, you know, as you're growing up. Like, you won't be ticking every single box, because there's some areas you'll be stronger, and when you bring that to the table, like, it'll get you to that level. But maybe in a couple of years time, if you're already strong in areas and you haven't brought the other ones along, you tend to see players fall away. And like, I've seen that, people, like, even we said I was saying yesterday, like, there was one player, Ian's the only player from our that Ted Webb team under 16 level that's still playing for Galway now. Like, do you know, you're talking about 30 players, one player is playing for Galway now.
Yeah.
Versus, do you know, so like, that's what you're kind of looking at, is that window there that I suppose a lot of players fall off. So can you bring, I suppose, more, give them more tools to their armoury? So, you know, like, there's already kids there that are very talented in certain areas of their game, and it's like, how can you bring more to them? So be it, if it's tactical awareness, if it's spatial awareness, if it's, you know, that speed of thought, speed of movement, they're the kind of little things that I'm trying to bring in. You're trying to bring it in a full and element way, because, like, you know, inter-county level, and especially even the development squads, it's quite competitive. Whereas this, you're not, it's not an overly competitive environment, but you're competing with yourself, obviously, because, you know, I'm, I suppose, challenging kids in different ways and how to improve. But you're, at the same time, they don't feel like, as in, if I don't, it's the end of the world. You know, like I said, like that kind of feeling I had when I was in Ted Webb, when I didn't make that squad, it nearly felt like the end of the world. But, like, I, luckily enough for me, I had enough to go home and be kicking up against the wall and practicing myself in that regard. And, you know, I suppose the power of imagination was a big thing for me, that I was able to picture myself in these scenarios of playing the inter-county games and being, you know, nearly playing the All-Ireland in Crow Park, back in the home in Clonburn. You know, that was the kind of way for me to develop. But, you know, some kids mightn't have that, and you're just trying to bridge that gap for them.
It's funny, isn't it, when you're under 16 and you're looking at the boys in the county team, like, you're looking at Ian Burke there, you think this is like the biggest thing in the world, and this is, you know, these boys are the best, and that's just in your head from a young age. You mentioned that, like, when you were that age, it was in your head that you wanted to bounce back straight away, prove these people wrong. Like, is that still a kind of an attitude that you'd have in your career now? Like, if someone, you know, if you're criticised, whether it's missing a free, having a bad day, like missing the free yesterday, is it something that's in your head, you know, have to prove people wrong again? Like,
yeah, it's definitely, like, as in, I suppose, I'm never someone that kind of moves forward while looking in the rear view mirror. But at the same time, like, obviously, you're only as good as your last day out. And, you know, that's probably something that was bred into me by mum and dad when I was younger. So, like, that's essentially where my starting base is. And it's probably not the best starting place to be this week. But at the same time, things can only get better, you know. So that's where I kind of look at things. But look, there's work for me to do, and that's the way it has to be. And a lot of it this week is going to be around recovery, mm-hmm. getting yourself ready for a game, you know. So that's the nuts and bolts with, like, I think that's what's worked best for me my whole career, is that you're kind of taking each game, because I don't want to be living off a moment or a thing from before, because it's gone. Like, you know, it's essentially now that's a memory, and I'll reflect on that in 20 years time when I'm finished playing, but I'm not going to be reflecting on it next Tuesday night thinking about a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice that it's there, but that's it, you have to move forward, because there's good days and bad days you've left behind you.
It had to be Mayo this morning, didn't it?
Yeah, look, it seems to always be the case. Like, but sure, look, we know each other so well at this stage. It's, you know, there's nothing new. No one's going to throw nothing new at it, and it's just going to be a case of who comes out on top. And the games the last couple of years, even you saw, like this year, even there was a draw. There was a result that didn't go for us. We had a result that went for us last year. Look, who knows what way it's going to go, but we've worked to do ourselves, and I'm sure they do as well after losing to Cork yesterday. So. But yeah, we just have to work on ourselves now.
Just getting back to the camps, so it's Kilmacud this week from Monday to Thursday. That's the plan for the next, it's 6 or 7 weeks.
Six weeks,
and
yeah.
You're going all over the country. You're going from Kilmacud to Cork to Donegal to, and it's all, there's another one in there as well.
Yeah, so I suppose in Dublin I've Kilmacud, in Cork I'm down in Clonakilty, then I'm back up to Kildare, I'm in Sarsfields there, then I'm up in Donegal, I'm in Letterkenny there, then I'm in over to our neighbours Mayo in Castlebar, and then finishing up in my home club then in Clonburn, then in Galway.
So a nice symmetry, I suppose, to end up back there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. That's where it all began, I suppose, for me as well. So it's just nice to kind of have those home roots touching on those as well. But it gives you great, I suppose, gives me a chance to meet all kinds of players. And, like, you know, for me, I learn things from players. And what's, you know, the biggest thing is that, especially even from teaching in secondary school, a lot of these kids are that age group as well. So you kind of learn to build a bond with them as well and be able to kind of connect. And I learn from them as much as they learn from me. So that's the kind of way I want to learn, because I want to be the best coach that I can possibly be. And, like, you're not going to know that by kind of talking down to kids all the time. You're, like, you have to work with them, see what works best for them. And you're just trying to probe, find different opportunities and what is the best way to maybe portray a drill. Because just because it's good for one person doesn't mean it's good for the next. And like, the best coaches will be able to maneuver around or find a way to connect with that age group and with those kind of players to be able to get everyone onto that same page.
So you're looking forward to the, I suppose it's going to be running throughout this the summer really, and you'll be all over the place, all over the country. But I suppose you got a taste for it this morning. You enjoyed the start anyway.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, look, the talent that's out there, like it's exciting to see it. Like, I think there's a lot of players there that are probably playing at a higher level than I was at that age group. Like, it's very hard. I don't think there's any footage of me playing at that age, but there's some there. Like, especially when you see the, like, I'd be a big advocate of the bilateral skills from left foot, right foot, and left hand, right hand, and like seeing some of the skills there, like you can see it's been bred into people by their underage coaches, that you can see where lads are really taking on board and girls, and they're actually able to use the right and left foot probably a lot more than a lot of players even now at intercountry level, you know. So like, if that is the level you're working off, like, intercountry football is going to be in a good place.
Some people, like, they maybe when they're finished training themselves, they like to get a break from, I know there's a few lads in our club team, you know, they say they're not going to get into the coaching because they like to take a break themselves, and they'll have enough time for coaching when they're finished. But you don't feel like there's ever too much going on. You have a love for it.
I think definitely not from a coaching perspective. Playing probably is slightly different. Like, the split season is quite demanding when you're kind of going to the pinnacle of both seasons. You literally don't have a break. Whereas, like, you know, from a coaching perspective, like, you're all in for that hour or two. But like, for me, the recovery is quite simple, whereas when you're playing, your recovery is quite like a lot more physical as well as mental. Like, as Joe, when you're coaching, there is a certain element to your demanding, but like, you haven't ran around for 10k or, you know, whatever in the session, and you're not, you know, I suppose beating sweat or whatever it is, you know, as in you have that kind of difference. As regards the recovery, it's slightly different. You're resting your mind rather than in training, you're probably resting your mind and your body, because depending on how training goes, some days training can go very well for you, and the mental side is a lot easier to recover than the other side, whereas sometimes training doesn't go well for you, or games don't go well for you, and you have to recover psychologically as well. Like, and but that's the beauty of the game, isn't it?
Definitely. You mentioned kind of the different skills, like the, whether it's changing the hands, or you see sometimes you're kicking up with your left foot and catching it in the right hand, different skills like this. Like, when you're going into coaching, like, would you be watching different players and seeing what they do, and seeing, thinking, like, whether it's a Rian O'Neill or a David Clifford, how can I teach a young lad or a young girl how to do what these boys do? Would you look at players kind of like that yourself?
Yeah, no, like, I suppose, because again, it all depends on what the player is comfortable with as well, because like, I've learned a certain style, and that's my style. It doesn't mean it's the exact same style. You have the, I suppose, the principles of the, you know, your left foot, right foot. As regards, a lot of people go left hand, left foot, right hand, right foot, and you'll see a lot of people when they start off kicking off their weaker side, if they're right footed, the right hand, when they're trying to kick off the left foot, they start bringing the right hand across, and like, straight away you're trying to explain the whole balance side of things, that like, you lose your balance when you're starting to lean over across your body, and someone comes to tackle you, you're very easy to put off kicking the ball. So like, from that perspective, it's very easy for me to come in and kind of change that sort of thing. Whereas, you know, it just all depends on the different techniques some people use kicking the ball, because like every person here, like us three here, we're all unique in their own way. So you're just trying to find that spot, and for me, it's recognizing, I suppose, what way they're kicking the ball, and how can you adjust their kicking by, you know, I suppose, what influence I can have in their kicking to make it more successful for them the way they have it already. And like, that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I've had happen to me when I was younger, and then just trying to see, can I bring that across? And like, some players, then, like, you'll meet different players, they'll be kind of maybe based off a higher level, and you might try the bilateral where they're solid right hand, left foot. Do you know, I'm a big fan of that one. In the last probably 3 or 4 years, I've seen, especially like Dave Clifford, your obvious example, where he uses it because it allows you to scan, allows you to hold a player off this near you as well. It's like, there's all benefits of that, but like, that comes from a lot of work done with the skill set already in regards to being able to left hand, left foot. He's now, you know, again, developed that skill set where he's so confident with the sole and the ball that it's able to, I suppose, survey what's around. And like, the more time you can create yourself in the ball, the more dangerous you become in that football field, and there's no better skill in the game than kicking off both sides to be able to get that time.
Yeah, and then just how much like, in terms of coaching, does the psychological elements ever come into it? Because, you know, it's like, if you kick 3 points early on in a game, suddenly you feel on fire, and then you can't miss. But what if you miss maybe the first two? your whole game's off, even though you feel like you're doing everything is exactly the same as you'd always do. The skills are still there, but because it's in the back of your head and you hear about all these county players, they talk about like triggers and resets. Is coaching at a young age, is it too young to get into even that, or is that something you explore with your coaching?
I think it's just the cues, like the positive affirmation, I think is a big one for me with kids, especially because like, Joe, even like you, like if someone misses a shot, like straight away, like you don't need to, it's like making a mistake. No one needs to tell you about making a mistake. You'll know it yourself. So for me, like when you see a kid making a mistake, then like you're literally saying the next ball they get, they might just catch a ball and hand pass it 2 yards to somebody. But straight away, you connect with them, make like, you know, call them a name, whatever it is, Joe Bloggs, well done, great pass. Next thing, all of a sudden, you can see that their chest just starts to open again and they start saying, oh yeah, like I did something good, you know, whereas if straight away, if they made another mistake, you're kind of saying, geez, do you know, like rather than going after them and saying, you made a mistake, like what's the first thing that's in their head? It's that mistake. Do you know, they're literally thinking, and you're starting to get a player nervous, whereas if you go and give that person that bit of confidence, next ball even, like I know Divo would be a big advocate of next ball, next ball, next ball. Because like, as I said earlier, like it's like driving with your... in your rear view mirror, like you can't be looking back at the mistakes. So like, let's focus on the next one, make the next play a positive play, and like, be it a 2 yard hand pass, 50 yard kick pass, whatever it is, once it's a positive play, and obviously the more shorter ones are probably safer, but again, making that positive play helps build that confidence again, because Joe, there is mistakes, but football is littered in mistakes. Like, it's, people can live off turnovers all they want, they're going to happen, they're continuously going to happen. It's what makes the game exciting as well. So like, for me, it's just how you respond to that, and like those little things. I think that big thing is positive affirmation after mistake, to encourage the next play to be a good play, rather than saying, why did you give that ball away to X, Y and Z, you know? So no one intends to go out and make a mistake, you know, it happens, so how do we react to it?
Exactly. And then just, you mentioned their confidence, I think everyone can, or it'd be fair to say that you're a very confident player, you know, you want to stand up in them clutch moments, and the All-Ireland final last year is probably the best example of it. But was that always in you, or, you know, is that something you worked on? Did you ever not have confidence and it slowly started to come in, you know, like, was it just, is that something you developed over time? Were you even aware of it?
Look, there's times, I suppose, there's times when things come hard to you, and there's times where you will doubt yourself. Like, I'm sure every player is probably going through those moments, and you're trying to showcase the bravado side in you as well, to like, because, you know, you don't want to give a sign of weakness to anyone either. So I think like I think it's important to have those moments as well, because you learn from them, you know, because there's no point in thinking you're, you know, that the sun shines from everywhere from you. Like, it's, that's not the reality of it. Like, there's days when things just don't go for you. So it's just all about picking yourself up, and how do you do that? How do you respond to these things? And, you know, a lot of it is like your mental preparation as well, and how you mentally prepare for these things. And I suppose I suppose in part of my process of visualization, you visualize things going wrong as much as you visualize things going well, because you have to be ready for all outcomes. Because look, on a given day, things just, I said, it's like a penalty you miss, you know, keeping guess the right way, you might miss the target. You just have to respond again, go again, go again, go again. Like, that's the way it is, because again, there's no point sitting there thinking, should have went this way, should have went that way. You have to move forward with it, and that's probably the big thing. That's probably, I think, that builds your confidence as well, because you're saying, well, I know this could happen, so, you know, let's go again, let's keep going. Do you know, that's the way it is. Like, and you have to keep going to your last breath, and whoever does it the best and whoever does it for the longest will probably come out on top inevitably.
Yeah, I'm so pumped now. I'm 30 nearly, and I feel like I can make county now. Just
like, whenever it does go wrong, is there something like, do you know, I'll get myself back into the game now, I'll do something, maybe do the simple thing rather than complicating it, just trying to, do you know, just play yourself back into the game if something does go against you?
Yeah, like that's essentially what your first play is trying to be, kind of saying, right, like let's correct that play, like, you know, because like, you know, the last thing you want to be doing is be trying maybe too hard in regards to what your next kind of thing is, like, because, you know, just because you missed an opportunity doesn't mean the next play has to be, like, you're not going to get double the reward for it. You know, if you miss a goal chance, you're not going to get double reward for trying even harder to get that goal chance again. Like, you have to just take the next play as it is and say, what is the best thing I can do in this play? And look, if it's a goal chance again, try and take your goal chance. But if it's a point chance, take your point. If it's just that pass to set somebody else up for a score, because straight away, like, at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's not about, Any V2 when you're playing, it's about the whole team, and if you can work towards that, because like the biggest thing you'll get from, even I've seen it from my own players, is that when you make a positive contribution to someone, they'll give you that bit of confidence then as well, say, oh, like, well done, great pass, you know, and next thing straight away again, like, and that effect, I think I said about kids, like, it has an effect on adults as well, because when you hear that positive affirmation from your teammates who you train week in week out with, like, straight away that gives you that bit of confidence to say, geez, yeah, no, I'm starting to feel myself back into the game again, and you start to relax in, because the last thing you want, last thing you need, I suppose, is, especially you see it from opposition teams, they'll be trying to remind you of it all the time, of the mistakes you make, whereas you probably need your teammates more than ever then to be picking you up and kind of, you know, encouraging you for the next play again.
Definitely. Just you mentioned earlier, like, how quick you have to kind of bounce back, and I suppose it's never been quicker than this year with the way it is with the system, that it's nearly playing every week or every second week, and Everton is going so quick. Have you enjoyed that? I suppose it's the first year of this series, say, and I'd say your group with Armagh, Tyrone and Westmeath was probably the most entertaining of all the groups nearly. So did you enjoy as a player playing in that setup?
Funny time to be asking me, but yeah, it's probably a funny one. Like, I just think the way the schedule of the whole thing is, like, it's so condensed in a short period of time that, like, the one aspect I just fear for is players that pick up the injuries in the time frame, and because that, they could miss, like, if someone got injured in that first game or the week before that, all of a sudden they're going to miss out on that whole block, and their team could be knocked out in the space of 3 weeks, and you're saying, like, your year could be over after, and it could be just a simple injury that someone gets, but because of the time frame that we're trying to run it in, it's like, that's the only thing I probably don't like about the way things are going at the moment, is just everything is on such a tight time frame, and like, players push 9-10 months of the year behind every year that goes in there, like, you know, I know it from experience, I see it from other lads there. And like, some lads, their whole lives are on hold for these moments, and it can just be gone in the blink of an eye. And I know, look, someone can injure a week out from an All-Ireland final, and that can happen too. But like, you generally will get the most of the year, whereas literally the year nearly starts when this group starts, and it could be gone in the blink of an eye, you know. So that's the only side of it. But yeah, look, obviously as players, you love playing. Playing games beats training, you know, people like that. So that's the other positive for next weekend, is that we have a game rather than training.
Definitely. Yeah, well, look, brilliant to hear about the upskill camps, and there's more information on that on upskill camps, shanewalsh.ie, isn't it?
It's upskillcamps.ie, yeah.
Upskillcamps.ie, and I'm sure you'll be kept busy, and a lot of kids around the country, they'll be loving that over the next few weeks, and sure you'll be back playing again, whether it's Saturday and Sunday, and Saturday or Sunday against Mayo, so the best of luck with that as well, Shane, and thanks for coming in.
Cheers, that's thanks.
So now we're going to head to our weekly stats quiz, which comes up in partnership with our friends at Sure, official statistic partners of the GA, where we look at the most eye-catching stats from the championship weekend. Last week's winner was Conor O'Dwyer, who got the question right, that TJ Reid had won his 12th, a remarkable 12th Leinster Championship with Kilkenny. So, which brings us on to this week's question, which is, it stems from Colm Collins' departure as Clare manager. Colm was the longest serving inter-county manager in the GA. So who is the longest serving inter-county manager in the GA now? So it's up to you, our audience. Give us the answer to this stat related question on our social media to be in with a chance of winning a Sure themed prize. And the winner will be announced on the show next week. Okay, so we're back, and we're back to talk a little bit about Tyrone Lee. I don't know, you're happy, I suppose, that they're true, probably not overly happy with the performance, but yeah, are they on borrowed time in this championship play?
Yeah, that seems to be the best way to fill it up as a Tyrone fan. Like, it does feel like borrowed time. There's still always that hope that they'll get a kick, and the new format sort of allows you to do that. I do get a little bit hopeful, like, because we've been saying all season that Armagh could get a kick, Cork could get a kick, Kildare could get a kick. You know, they all have potential, and we're sort of bored stupid saying it. And then in one weekend, they all did. You know, they all mustered up all of their ability, and everything just clicked. So I'm still like slightly hopeful that this extra week is all Tyrone need. There were some positives. I mean, mostly disappointment, but there were some positives. And the obvious one being Darragh Canavan kicking 10 points, but just genuinely being outrageous. Like, you know, him on the ball is genuinely, it's like a beautiful thing to watch. Another positive was Kieran McGeary came off the bench. That's the best I've seen him play, in, you know, in a good while. Obviously, 2021 Player of the Year. He's just sort of been struggling for form since that. He came on, had a really good point, started winning some breaking balls, and that's always what his main strength has been. He's the sort of man that would put his head where he wouldn't put a boot, you know, like and balls that are 60-40 suddenly became Tyrone balls when Kieran McGeary's about. So maybe he'll get the start next week, and that'll add that bit of power into the half forward line. Darren McCurry was injured. If he's back for Donegal, I feel a lot more optimistic. Obviously, Donegal are going to be looking at Canavan, thinking we need to shut him down. But if McCurry's on the field as well, he's not exactly someone you can let, you know, just do what he likes and roam around. So I don't know where to stand with Tyrone. It's just been the theme of the season. The Donegal game, hopefully, they'll tell you everything, because they'll either be out if they don't stand up. And Donegal are definitely a team actually on the up. Not something I thought I'd be saying 2 weeks ago, but they're in a much better place. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of with the team at the weekend that teams are just... The team of the year, some teams are turning it around from terrible situations. You mentioned Darragh Canavan there, and I know we all knew that he was class. I suppose since he was a teenager, I remember him scoring for the Tyrone Miners, that unbelievable goal he scored that day. But this year, even last year and above any year, you're seeing a bit of a fire in him. And I only seen the Tyrone game on the Sunday game, but... He came across Kevin Maguire at one stage, the Westmead fullback, and it was after Maguire was hanging out with him.
Yeah.
Do you remember that for the score? Yeah. And Canavan just comes in, and this is a big man, and Canavan comes in and gives him a shoulder like, do you know, you tried everything, but you couldn't stop me. He's a new man this year.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'd say the big thing, genuinely, is that he's got a really long run of games now, because ever since, there's almost been a rush to get him involved into the Tyrone team, as you know, as young as he could possibly be, and he's been picking up injuries on and off. And Mickey Hart's first year when they brought him on, he was always carrying like a niggle. He didn't actually be involved in the 2021 campaign until I think the semi-final, because just the nature of the injuries. So this feels like the first time he's just got the whole league under his belt, loads of football at this level, and he's just fit, he's ready, and he can totally free to express himself. And you mentioned Kevin Maguire there, and that man will never want to see Darragh Canavan again. It was strange that they didn't change the matchup. And then another positive of that too is that Rory Canavan got his first start for Tyrone. He's lined out at half forward, but he really played as a corner forward. He got 3 points from play. You know, the big problem with Tyrone is obviously not getting scores, so having Dara stand up on that occasion, Dara McCrary to come back up, hopefully Rory's now involved, and he, you know, he can handle the pressure and stuff, because he's such a at a young age too. But yeah, I mean, when you've got players like that, it's hard. That's why you can never rule Tyrone out, you know, when you've got talent like that. It's like when Kerry are at their absolute worst and they've got Clifford, and I know I'm jumping the gun there comparing the two, but that's just how special this kid is, you know, his young age and the fact that he can step up like that. And I'd say he got a really good apprenticeship growing up in Tyrone, boys digging into him and telling him who his dad is and why he won't be as good. So he'll always have a bit of bite about him.
You must have been a nervous man when John Heslin stood over that free.
Stop. No words I'm allowed to say on a podcast, I don't think. I was like, I can't believe it, we're going out of this championship. Because genuinely, that wasn't the fear going into the game. Like, I never really thought, like, I assumed Galway would probably get the win over Armagh, in that sense anyway. And then I did think that, and in the game too, like, I always believed that Westmeath would put it up to Tyrone. I never thought Tyrone were going to go. I'd seen the bookies had, like, an 8 point difference they thought the game was going to be.
Westmead,
I never
put
thought
it up
that.
To everyone in Every, that group,
exactly.
Even Galway. And yeah. I know Galway pulled away, but Westmead, they were... Do you know, they were a match for them all.
Exactly. So the evidence would suggest that it was going to be a tight game. I just thought Tyrone had the more know-how at this level and, you know, the experience. So for it to end up as a draw, and really, you know, you would have put your house in John Heslin to score that, because he was brilliant all day and he's been brilliant all season. That Westmeath team, Luke Lachlan, Raiklin Allen, Ronan O'Toole, that man is just, he could play plenty. In any county team. Genuinely, he was a nightmare for Tyrone to mark. So I genuinely still, I feel bad for Westmeath, because it sort of feels like they deserve to go through.
We'll leave Tyrone there. Yeah. You'll be hoping that more talks are out this summer. It's coming up quick next weekend against Donegal, so time will tell about that one. The game I wanted to talk about most coming in here today, it was Kildare and Roscommon. Kildare 116, Roscommon 115. I suppose it was a bit of a surprise to a lot of people that Kildare won. Like, we'd been given out about them in a specific podcast earlier in the year. We called them the Spurs. Well, it was actually Kyle Coney that called them the Spurs. Spurs the GA. But I think a lot of people would have agreed with it at the time. And if they are the Spurs of the GA, this was their win over Ajax in the Champions League semi-final. It was. And I could just watching it, you could get a sense from Glenn Ryan in the interview that, you know, there was something brewing. a small bit before the game, like he was saying, you know, hopefully this is the day now. Like, the main disappointment has been that we just haven't been delivering what we've been shown on the training field. And from the very start, like, they started that goal, Alex Burns' goal was, I actually jumped up out of the couch watching it. It was one of the best goals I've seen, definitely this year. But Kildare, they just had a bite about them, and yeah, they had started like trains. The game was unbelievable. I mean, I suppose it was the added excitement with Davy Burke being a Kildare man on the Roscommon sideline. I'm sure you've seen it when Kildare, they started so well, and then they got the two black cards. So Ryan Houlihan and Alex Byrne got black carded. And as soon as Houlihan got black carded, Kildare taking their kick out for the next play, and Shea Ryan, the fullback, and another lad. It showed it from the yeah, camera from a good bit far away, and the two boys just go down. Absolutely nothing yeah, wrong with them. Like, nothing at all. They just went down holding their heads. The ref, in fairness, he was very sharp. He came over and yeah, booked Shea Ryan. And then on the sideline, you had the two boys. Davy Burke was... It was actually, you know, that meme of Jose Mourinho where his Tottenham assistant comes over and tells him, like, you should be getting mad about this.
Oh, yeah,
and Mourinho
sprints,
jumps out yeah, of the dugout. It was the exact same as that. I think it was Mark McHugh beside yeah, David Burke, and he's there tapping him on the shoulder. And then David Burke goes mad. He's like, you know, into Jose Mourinho mode. And then Anthony Rainbow is shouting down the line at him, yeah, like, looked like profanity.
Stuff,
so
like,
it was
yeah,
just, it was so exciting now.
No, it was brilliant. Like, and to be totally fair, like, I mean, you can only talk about what you see, and I don't think anything that we said about Kildare was not true at the time, because the evidence was that they have all these brilliant players on paper, all these like superstars really, and they were dreadful in the league, losing to teams they shouldn't lose to, pulling it off against teams they probably we didn't think they were capable of beating, given how they were doing against the other teams, and then the inconsistency it's almost impressive, to be honest. But when back's against the wall, when there's a bit of jeopardy in the game, you know, they can really pull through. And like Roscommon, you know, they've been having a brilliant season. Like, they have been consistent, in fairness to them. Always rising to the challenge. And like, there was only a point in it. But like, again, that was the theme of the weekend. It was really tight games. It was like, it just felt like championship. First time where it's like, everything's on the line here. So you got to give it everything, because there might not be tomorrow. And that brought out the best in Kildare.
They just looked a small bit tired, Roscommon.
Yeah.
And it's not a good sign now that, you know, they have to head out and play next weekend, because they just look like a team. Maybe they thought, you know, Davy Burke admitted that. Maybe they thought that we'll beat, you know, we've been yeah, better than these all year. We might win it handy enough. But they just look tired. And apart from Enda Smith, who was, he was again unbelievable. And Ben O'Carroll was very lively. There was very little else from Roscommon that it just wasn't... It wasn't the Roscommon that we're used to seeing
no,
this year, definitely. And I suppose I'm a big fan of Davy Burke. He's such a straight talker, and he yeah, was interviewed after the game, and you know, he was just like, they wanted it more. He was so straight up, and you could see how dejected he was. He was actually asked before the game. I read this on the Irish Examiner. Did it come into his thinking much that, you know, you're playing against your home county here, Davy? And his quote was, he didn't give a shite. So he's so straight up, and yeah, really like him that way. But listen, Kildare, what a performance. You mentioned that they have the talent. Like, we all know, say the likes of Daniel Flynn, he was decent, he was lively yesterday.
And he was starting again, because he hadn't yeah, been starting in a lot of the championship games, whatever it is about him, the Glen Ryan, that he doesn't think he's doing enough off. Maybe it's the tracking back. You know, he is more of a... He can be a bit mercurial like that, you know.
He wasn't like it wasn't outstanding from him yesterday. Yeah. But he still had such a key role in bringing the ball out of defence at different times. The two key men for me were Ben McCormack, just scored yeah, some unbelievable points. This man is gifted. And the two of the ones he scored late on were... You know, they were the game changers, really, because Roscommon were on top and Kildare were... had to work a bit harder for their scores. He scored two unbelievable ones. And of course, Kevin Feely, it was one of the best marks I've ever seen, to be honest, yeah, Lee, the circumstances.
Because it was a proper mark.
Pass, a proper mark. Yeah. Beautiful pass from Daniel Flynn. A tough free. It was like Heslin's, it was like Shane Walsh's one. And he scores it off his bad foot.
Yeah.
So,
No, incredible. And that was like a market like advertisement for what the mark was supposed to be. That's how it was sold to us, what this would bring to the game. It'll bring back the high fetching, full forward, you know, who can win the ball with surrounded by players, and then they get a reward for that just for attempting that, rather than, you know, trying to break it and get a scramble together, and then they've ruined it with this advanced mark. But that's a whole other podcast. Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, so just hugely exciting game. And Kildare, they've Monaghan next, so it's you know, they'll Monaghan will
be, like, who knows?
You couldn't
possibly be confident that what team will show up in that match, like, you know, because they're both capable, but they both have it in their locker too that they can implode. So, you know, it's definitely entertaining now. You can't say that it's not entertaining.
But even the four games that are coming up, it's so hard to predict any of them.
You know, I have no confidence in any of them, to be fair. Like, Galway and Mayo going into the draw, I assumed they would have beat whoever they would have got, but then they got each other. So now it's like, you know, one of them has to go out. One of the major favourites for the All-Ireland won't be in the championship come this day next week, and that's just mental to think.
It's actually an unbelievable draw.
Yeah.
Like, they're so... the teams that got matched against you are Galway and Mayo. Like, it's toss of a coin.
Yeah.
Kildare, Monaghan, toss of a coin. Cork, Roscommon, Donegal, Tyrone. Like, they're so evenly matched.
I could have told you we got Donegal, Tyrone. I just feel like this is the 100th time in 2 years. Like, that's what it feels like. Every time Tyrone have an opportunity to draw someone, they draw Donegal. And, oh, I'm sick of the sight of seeing them. And I thought this year they would maybe disappear, but no, they're back in numbers as well. So I'm fearful.
They're quietly building. Like, we watched them against Derry. Derry got away from them the last day.
Yeah.
This day, they just got away from Monaghan, and, you know, they did a good job in it. I suppose Jack McCarron was probably earmarked as Monaghan's danger man, given the form he came into this game in. But Brendan McCall did a very good job in keeping him fairly quiet. Monaghan didn't play with the same, I don't know whether it's drive, or they didn't seem to have the same energy about them that we always kind of associate with Monaghan. And Donegal kind of, They bossed the game.
Yeah.
Oisín, I mean, Gallen, Conor O'Donnell, Brendan McCall, probably the key men. But
The mood in Monaghan was really good after their performance against Derry when they got that draw. But, like, how much of that was down to the fact that they had time to plan that? You know, they probably presumed that Derry were going to win the Ulster Championship. They knew they were going to get them. And they were able to, you know, after losing out to them earlier on in the Ulster Championship, they were able to readjust things and revise things. But then suddenly it's a game the next week, and then a game the next week, and, you know, and you don't get that level of preparation, and it's just so much tougher. And we were sort of talking to you about, like, Conor McManus now does seem he's a player coming from the bench. So, like, you know, it's as a neutral watching Monaghan, I just always want to see him on the pitch. Unless they're playing Tyrone, I'm happy enough for him to stay on the bench. But, and that's the same with Jack McCarron. You want to see these players, these flair players. But hopefully, well, I don't have any real invested interest. But if this is Conor McManus's last season with Monaghan, and I'm not trying to retire them, I just want to see as much of them in the next game as possible. You know, no more of this springing him off the bench with 5 minutes to go, throw him in.
Yeah, you want to see him starting against Kildare.
Yeah.
This weekend. It's mad that it is this weekend, even to say that. The players would be all just, I'd say they'd be in ice baths all week. Cork Mayo, another... Wild game. I mean, Mayo 111 to, they went up 111 to 8 points, and I was watching this was at the same time as Kildare Scommon, and it was on the GA Go, and I was like, right, I'm not even going to look at this game anymore because this is done. But Cork, they're a new team this year. I'm calling them the men with the mullets. Colm O'Callaghan, the bullets with the mullets, actually. Colm O'Callaghan in midfield, he is a man, he was on fire yesterday, bombing up and down the field. And, you know, it's usually Mayo you associate that kind of running straight down the heart. That's what they've been doing to teams. But Cork, they've been finishing games really well the last few weeks, which is something they hadn't done before. Colm O'Callaghan, Chris Oak-Jones, they're the bullets with the mullets, but your man is Stephen Sherlock Lee, and he came on and he changed the game.
I just think he's unbelievable too, like, and I think it turns out maybe we just weren't giving Cork enough credit for their performance against Kerry. So much of that was more built around, oh, Kerry look flat, you know, rather than what Cork were doing to them.
True.
You know, and then Stephen Sherlock came off the bench that day. I think he scored a couple of points, and people were like, well, will he start next time? You know, they're trying to do this whole have finishers rather than starters, and then he came off the bench yesterday, scored 1-5 from the bench. I mean, an absolutely incredible,
in a low enough scoring game.
Yeah. I mean, like, when you're thinking about throwing on a player to, like, oh, I hope he has an impact in this game, gets a point or a good score. I mean, 1-5, I mean, And the game itself, like Mayo, you know, Tommy Conroy came off the bench and he got a goal. And that looked like the goal that was going to kill the game. And I was like, well, this is Mayo all over. They've got more depth in their team. It just makes sense. Cork did really well to stay in the game for this long, but that's probably it. And then I think not a minute later, they get a penalty, convert that, and then they just boss everything. And you mentioned the midfield. The other midfielder there is Ian Maguire. He got man of the match.
Anima.
Oh, my God. They are genuinely. Because I noticed that in the Kerry match too. Like, you would never think Cork v Kerry, that Cork were going to dominate midfield. And that's what they did, sort of that middle third. They really do have an excellent spine. You know, is it Kevin Walsh is involved with them now. You know, he is his organisational skills are famous, really. So they're genuinely a force to be reckoned with now. And I'd be very surprised now if Stephen Sherratt doesn't start the next match. Again, it's just me, you know, as a football fan. I want to see the best players on the pitch. I want to see the shooters on the field. So hopefully he gets the nod.
Well, John Cleary said Stephen is a class player. It's how we can use him and how he can contribute to the panel and the group.
Oh, he's
that's
not
very important.
He's not starting, never mind.
He's not starting.
No, he's nowhere near that team.
So, yeah, you might have to wait until the last 20 minutes.
That's it.
To see,
I'll flick it over then.
Stephen Sherlock again. You mentioned the brilliant record Kevin Walsh has against Mayo, and I think he had a great record for Galway against Mayo. I don't think he's as good one against Roscommon. They were beaten a few times by Galway in Connacht final, so that'll be another interesting twist to that one. We'll just give a short mention to the Dublin and Kerry games, because they were fairly straightforward. They went as you would expect. I would imagine. Desi Farrell said, he said after the games they were delighted to get on the road, and I tuned in at the end, and so was Kieran Kilkenny. And his post-match interview was very funny, because I like the way GA go, they work this. Whether it was the Mayo and Cork match, they had the camera on Michael Meehan and his fellow commentator, I think it was Liam Ahern, up in the commentary box, and they were doing the halftime analysis. And you know, you don't see that too often. After the Dublin game, they had they brought Kieran Kilkenny into the dugout with Gráinne McIlwain, Michael Murphy and Paddy Andrews. And, you know, Kieran was kind of singing off the same hymn sheet as Desi Farrell. He was delighted to get on the road down to Cavan yesterday and really enjoyed it. And he gave a few people like shout outs while he was doing the interview. He was in great form now. He was saluting a few people out on the pitch that, like, they're the Bradys from Cavan, he said.
Yeah.
He did the first question in Irish with Gráinne McIlwain. She's a Gaelgor. She writes for the Irish section, the Irish Independent. But Paddy Andrews was getting sick of listening to Kieran, and he went, have you anything else to plug before you head off there, Kieran? There's a few more signs in the stand there. And Kieran said, I'm sure you've loads, Paddy, especially with them lovely teeth you have. So, do you know, it was a bit of crack at the end of that game.
They are some nashers. That man went to Turkey, like.
Yeah, but I suppose Kieran Kilkenny also said that it's going to be a huge step up for Dublin now when they get to the next round.
Well, it's hard to read Dublin again, because this is the same situation they were in when the Leinster Championship, hammering every team put in front of them. All bigger tests are coming, but then the bigger test was Sligo, with all respect to them. You know, that it wasn't a Division 2, Division 3 team that they were talking about. And when they did have a real challenge against a Division 1 team, Roscommon,
they struggled.
It was a draw. So, I mean, it's good getting the win, yeah, and getting players into form and kicking points and scores and stuff. But, you know, whoever they get in the draw, like, there is always the danger that they'll be caught cold.
Definitely is, because Roscommon and Derry are probably the two, like, real top tier teams that they've played this year.
Yeah.
So, time will tell. They've another 2 weeks. Kerry hammered Loud. Loud haven't had a good season. This is a very disappointing end for them. But the one thing that stood out was, again, David Clifford. He was given the Garda escort off the field when he was taken off. But his finish, did you see the goal? It was unbelievable. Running in at top speed, pure class, and just slotted it real calmly. Peter Canavan was all over on the Sunday game. It was like a famous one that he scored for Tyrone back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, David Clifford, like, he's not on social media, as he famously says, but I'd love to know just how famous he is, you know, compared to other Irish stars, because they think he's like a unicorn. You know, the kids, when they finally see him, then they have to get a photo of him. You got to get a Garda escort. That photo in Sports Fail was just as magical. Like, it really sums up, you know, what a star this kid is, and just how easily he wears it on his shoulders. I was sort of, maybe I'll throw this question to you as well. I was just listening to God, I don't even know what I was listening to that many things on, but they were talking about player of the year so far. I know it's early doors and everything, and they all say David Clifford, and I was sort of thinking, could Shane McGuigan could maybe, you know, be thrown into that mix. But I'm just wondering where your thoughts would be on that.
I was talking about this last night. It's so early to be talking
it
about
is,
this
it is.
Because you can't have a player of the year yet.
You're not predicting who'll get it. You're just saying so far. Yeah. Who do you think is in that
It
mold?
Must have been Joanne, your listener. She mentioned at the end of the Roscommon game that Enda Smith will be up there for player of the year.
Yeah.
I suppose he'd be up there. David Clifford would be up there. Sean Kelly, what a player.
He was magical,
He is. There's definitely a few more now that you're putting me on the spot. Stephen Sherlock's probably the super sub of the year.
Yeah, is that a role? You'll definitely get that.
But yeah, I suppose just before we finish up, we have a few shout outs to give. First is to Libby Coppinger, Cork dual player. She played two games on Saturday for the hurlers, for the Camogie team against Down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh at 3 o'clock, and then up to Pearce Stadium in Salt Hill, 3 hours up the road, to play for the Cork Ladies footballers against Galway. They were stuck with a few injuries. Arla Cahalan broke her foot during the week. They got another injury during the game. Aoife Healy went in the car with Libby. She played for the Camogie team as well. Didn't come on for the football team, but Libby did. So shout with her. It was unbelievable.
Oh,
probably shouldn't have to be doing that. But fair play to her at the same time. Obviously, an unbelievable athlete. And on the same subject, James McEntee in the Tailteann Cup. So Colm O'Rourke was praising this man in his interview after Meath's 223-12 defeat of Wexford. James McEntee kicked 6 of the points, and Colm says, it hasn't been easy on him working as a doctor in Blanchardstown. He worked nights this week. Imagine putting in that performance after working a full shift last night. It's a great credit to him on a personal level. What a man.
Unbelievable. Like, I mean, oh no, it makes me feel guilty about complaining about anything, you know. I mean, that's proper work. And then, he obviously was still so on top of, as best as he could, obviously, his recovery and his preparation, and to go out and put in a performance. And anyone who thought that, like, maybe Meath football, obviously, it's going through a transition. They had a really horrible start to the year, and it felt like the pride was maybe gone out of the jersey. That just goes to show how much it still means to some of those boys. And the Tailteann Cup's obviously being a really good format and a really good way for teams like that to, you know, regain. You only have to look at Down and Laois, probably, you know, other teams that are really attacking this tournament and allowing it, or using it as an opportunity to turn their seasons around and put some pride back in the jersey.
So it sets up, Meade's win sets them up against Antrim now. So yeah. Andy McEntee, the Antrim manager, they're flying as well. Mm-hmm. They had a 4-point win over Carlow, and it sets him up. He's against his former the county he managed last, Meade, the county he's from, the county who his son is playing for, Shane McEntee. And James McEntee, as far as I'm aware, is his nephew. So this is going to be next Sunday, and
some awkward dinners in that house.
What a week for the McEntee family.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And you're thinking, oh, that's sort of a disadvantage because he's got invested interest. And then you're thinking, wait a minute, outside of Colm O'Rourke right now, what other manager in the country knows this Meath team better, you know, and in terms of weaknesses and strengths. So he'll be able, it'll be very interesting to see how he sets up and tries to exploit any information that he has. But yeah, I'm really excited about the Tailteann Cup. I think both games are going to be on the Sunday. Down B Cavan. They're playing Laois in the other semi-final. Personally, I want to see an All-Ulster final. That'd be something pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in any of them. And again, really hard to tell. Well, I maybe expect Down to beat Laois, Abbott, Antrim, Meath.
Meath.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was another talking point was Conor Laverty, and you had a piece on this. He was interviewed after by Damien Lawler on the Saturday game, and Damien was asking about, you know, letting the players back to play with their clubs if they haven't played for Down. And he said, you know, this was something that he would, when he was in the panel, he said he was lucky enough to be starting sometimes. Sometimes he wasn't lucky enough to be starting and he was on the bench. And he said he swore to himself that he'd never hold a player back from playing with their club. So that was a nice touch from him.
It was so cool, that he was so honest with himself in that regard, because all county managers now had been players at some stage, and I bet when they were players that they didn't agree with that stance, because I'm yet to meet a player that, like, oh, I totally understand why I'm getting absolutely no football, you know, in terms of club or for county. it just makes so much sense. And I suppose he even showed the negative side of that, or what the negative possibilities could be, because I think it was it Ryan McAvoy played for Kilkoo during the week before a game, and he did pick up an injury in that, and then so he was ruled out of the Down game. I think he's back now anyway, but you know, that would have been used as, well, exhibit A, where you shouldn't do this. But it didn't bother him. He thought, well, I think, you know, risk reward, the reward's so much greater, keeping players happy, keeping the panel happy. And then when you do have to call on them, you know they've got football, you know, miles in the bank, match experience in recent games, rather than just sort of sitting and decaying on the sub bench, you know, for weeks on end.
Yeah, that's his principle, and that's what he's going with. So you'd have to respect him for that. Just the last shout out is to Colm Collins. He's the longest serving inter-county manager in the game. And I read a piece wrote by Gary Brennan in the Irish Examiner. So Clare's iconic footballer, I suppose, over the Colm Collins years. And he just, you know, he paid a brilliant tribute to Collins. He said that he was certain that some Clare players wouldn't have answered the call if the call wasn't made by Colm Collins. So it just, he was loved by players. And you can see that genuine passion and genuine nature that he has in all his interviews. It was a great kind of quote he gave at the finish. He was like, I can watch these boys without the beating of the heart. Mm-hmm. He said for a finish. And there was just one great story in the article. Gary Brennan said that, you know, there was nothing, no job beneath him for that was for the good of Clare football. So he remembers one time when there was the Clare Supporters Club, or football supporters, were doing a raffle draw. And it was during a heat wave when the raffle was for a car. And he said that he saw Colm Collins driving the car up and parking outside one of the main hotels in Clare. So more people would buy, because the place is busy on that day, so more people would buy tickets for the draw. So, you know, I suppose it just sums him up as a man, and a great way to, I suppose, sign off the show, because he's been a great servant for Clare and, you know, an unbelievable manager. I think a lad we'd, every one of his players seemed to love. Owen Cleary's tribute to him was brilliant as well. We don't play for Clare, we play for Colm Collins, was how he put it. So that was unbelievable. And look, there's loads to come next week. It's all kicking off. There's nearly too many games to keep up with, but we'll give it a go anyway. So we'll be back again next Monday. Thanks to Lee, thanks to Shane Walsh for coming in, and thanks to our friends at Sure 72-Hour Protection. And we'll be back again next Monday.
You've been listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Sure. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Sure, it won't let you down.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.